Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my co-host, Michelle Post. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Scott. Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in around the world.
Around the world. And happy almost Valentine's Day to everybody.
Yes. Whether you have a partner or significant other of the romantic quality, or there's someone else in your life that you love, like friends, there's a version of Valentine's Day, Friendsentine, I think it's called, Friendsentine, where people go out with their best friends. I hope that you let someone in your life know that you love them.
So the big question that I've always had, and answered it to the best of my ability years ago. I'm sure other people are wondering, is like, where the hell did Valentine's Day come from anyway?
Oh, good question.
That's right. It's like, what exactly is it? And the best I've been able to come up with is that it started as a Roman celebration.
Valentine or something.
Except they did it in what has been called a raucous wine-fueled fertility rite.
Probably modern day orgy would be a way to describe it, I imagine, those Romans.
So there are some other origin stories, but nobody's been able to actually track it down with any certainty that I'm comfortable with. Of course, certainly we have Saint Valentine. We've got some other things that there is, but I really believe that it goes down to the Roman feast of Lupercalia, which included men stripping naked and sacrificing goats and dogs. So let's not do some of that.
No, that's not really where I thought we were going today.
It probably not conducive to a good relationship. So today we're actually and we've got an expert here. We're talking about relationships and the secrets of successful relationships. And Michelle's practice, part of it, you focus on couples therapy, yeah?
Couples therapy, dating coaching is a part of my practice. Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yes. It's fun. Dating coaching is a lot of fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Especially in 2024.
We'll have to get into that. So I did think that it would be kind of cool to start off the show since we're talking about love and romance and successful relationships. And I know, look, I'm very well aware that what you see in the press and the media is not reality.
Correct.
But still, America is currently going through our equivalent of what this is Scott's opinion. We're going through our equivalent, our love affair equivalent of Princess Diana. We now have Taylor Swift.
Well, that's true. Yes, we do.
She essentially is our royalty at the moment. And she's making headlines by flying halfway around the world to meet her lover. To watch the Super Bowl, which was yesterday.
The Super Bowl yesterday in America.
And, you know, yes, there are the haters. Yes, there are the conspiracy theorists. There are all these things. The reality, though, is, you know, I think that a lot of America is entranced with the love affair, the concept of the relationship, the fact thankfully they have the money to spend on each other to celebrate the relationship. But I thought it would be an interesting start to our show to understand, here we are seeing on public display the manifestation of what appears to be a successful relationship. You know, there are even proposition bets that took place yesterday, because I was at a Super Bowl party and people actually had the little prop bet sheets out of what they were bet. There were even bets on when he was going to engage, when she's going to get pregnant. This is the Super Bowl, folks. Yet there are proposition bets on the love affair, the relationship, and the connection between the two. Additionally,
so sad.
Additionally, I find it fascinating from the outside to look at the amount of money that Taylor Swift and all of her Swifties have been able to bring to, we were talking about, you know, gender models before, to a traditionally male
band. Yes, such a good point.
And it isn't that anymore. As a matter of fact, I actually, somebody at one of the events that I was at, and I know this is going to sound sexist, I didn't say it, I'm repeating it, actually said, he knew the Super Bowl, he knew all these things. He said, I didn't even know who Travis Kelce was until Taylor Swift.
Oh, poor Travis Kelce.
And so, you know, there's got to be some of that into the relationship too, right?
Yeah, of course. He's
extremely successful. He's extremely well-known. He actually is very well-known in,
right, in the NFL. He's a former Super Bowl champ and a second time Super Bowl champ, right?
So what do you do in a relationship where the man is very successful and now his girlfriend is a billionaire?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. If you were watching this Super Bowl at all yesterday, you would have seen a commercial that did a little shadow appearance. It was an Uber Eats commercial, and it was talking about, if you remember Uber Eats, you forget something else. And it showed another famous athlete singer pair up, and it was Posh Spice of the Spice Girls, Victoria Beckham and David Beckham. And they were saying, like, what band were you a part of? Was it like the Paprika Girls? You know, like, it's so, it was really, and they have a wonderful show about the challenges that they had in their relationship.
Right. So there's
early
another
on Netflix.
There is another very public showing of relationships, the ups and the downs. And I want to mention that one thing that Michelle and I were chatting about off air is I'm fascinated by the fact that the relationship between Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, real or imagined, doesn't really matter at this point, that Reuters, at least, has been reporting that just in the short amount of time pre-Super Bowl, Taylor Swift has brought in $331.5 million additional dollars for the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL. And it's like, right? We love love.
We do love love. I love love. Do you
and
love
so,
love?
And so I thought, you know, let's deal today specifically, and I'm going to let you just jump in here. Let's talk about the secrets of successful relationships. What have seen over the years as a couples and dating coach?
Right. So obviously, not all people bring 331.5 million extra dollars of revenue to their partner's career, but, you know, there are ways that we bring success. So I guess part of it is defining what is success in a relationship. And I would say that some sort of long-term happiness or satisfaction, contentment, partnership is how I would define a successful relationship. So, you know, if you haven't brought $331.5 million to anybody in your life, don't feel too bad. It's okay. Most of us aren't going to get that. So successful long-term relationships. One of the key secrets that I've learned a long time ago, for those of you not in a relationship and hoping to get in one, or in a relationship that you're feeling a little about, is how easy is the relationship? So we have been taught that relationships are hard work, that they take a lot of work, that they're, you know, it feels like a almost, you know, a ball and chain. You know, we have these views of relationships that are very negative. But in fact, when you have a positive relationship, it inspires your energy and your tenacity to do other things in your career like nothing else. You have more energy at work. You feel more invested in yourself. You take good care of yourself. There's so many ways that a good relationship has a positive impact on us. In for instance, married men live longer and have more sex than single men, unlike what you might think. Now, married women, they have shorter lives than their single women counterparts, which
kind of
see what we do. So that is a little bit akin to what we were talking about in our show about the Barbie movie and what's going on for women in society. But that aside, okay, and the Fair Play documentary aside, in our current culture right now, if you are not in a relationship, there is a lot of hookup culture going on, or what we call situationships. So these are people who kind of hook up on the regular, but maybe they don't have a traditional boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend relationship label.
So these are friends with benefits.
Yes, but it's a little more than friends with benefits, because there's sort of like it. So our situationship is a middle ground between a friends with benefits and a official relationship. That's why they call it a situationship. Okay. So we have a lot of that going on. The hookup is a lot more about the friends with benefits situation. And younger men, at least in America, are having a much more fluid and flexible approach to sexuality than, let's say, the Victorian era, where if women had sexual desires, they were kind of outcast and seen as uncouth or unrefined. And in the Victorian era, this is where we see the onset of hysteria, masses amounts of women being diagnosed psychiatrically with hysteria. Until, I don't know if you knew this, did you know that back then you could go to your doctor and your doctor would use what they called a hand manipulation to bring a woman to orgasm, to help her understand her body and her sexuality? And it was like, and women were lined up out the door. This was not like a Me Too situation or a taking advantage of women's. Women were lined up out the door to see doctors, and doctors were complaining about their wrists hurting because of how long it would take to bring many women into orgasm. And thus became the invention of the vibrator, that you know, in the early 1900s, you could buy a vibrator at the back of a Sears catalog. It was so accessible until somehow we made it.
So are you suggesting that the secret of a successful relationship is actually a vibrator?
Sometimes, yes. A secret to a successful relationship, thank you for getting me back on track, is a mix between companionship and sexual pleasure, right? That, you know, most long-term relationships kind of can get a little stale if you don't take some time to invest some sexuality and some Eros energy into it, right? If all you're doing is paying the bills and who's going to walk the dog and pick up the poop and, you know, do the dishes and et cetera, you lose a lot of that vitality that brings your energy into your work life, that brings your energy into your hobbies, you know, that passion, right? So a successful relationship is easy and has a blend between those two things.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm wondering how much of this, when you go back to the root of all of this, is commitment, right?
So yeah, good question.
And so certainly there's passion, intimacy, sexual attraction. There's that chemical,
yes.
alchemy that takes place.
Yes.
I think everybody would agree this isn't going to be a surprise, that as you move through a relationship and as we age,
Yes.
That's going to ebb and flow.
Which is where a vibrator can come in or other things.
And because of that.
Yes.
Doesn't the commitment to a relationship. So I'm trying to think back, and I know I'm kind of hemming and hawing here, but at some point I remember reading that there are mm-hmm. different phases of a relationship. Right, there's the honeymoon phase, for lack of a better way, and then that wears off, despite the fact. I mean, there are people like me, for example. I've always said I'm an incurable romantic.
And, God bless you.
And because of that, there are just, you know, things that move me and keep me going every day. Yes. Not going to be the same for everybody. As a matter of fact,
no.
You know, even yesterday I was noticing, knowing we were going to do our show, looking at the couples that were there, the people who were in situationships, the people who were in marriages and whatever. And yes, there were jokes about, you know, the struggle some of them were going through. Some of them are new, whatever. Like, but they all
at
seemed...
a Super Bowl party or on TV?
At a Super Bowl party.
Oh, okay,
and,
okay.
And I mean, real life, real world people I know. And while they were all in different phases of their relationships,
yes,
you could still tell the commitment was there.
Yeah, commitment's important, and being on the same page about what commitment means is important. This is going to blow your socks off a little bit, but more and more there are some agreements that couples are getting into around what's called ethical non-monogamy, which is that the couple has, you know, certain rules or parameters around whether or not they feel it is a breach of their relationship to be non-monogamous. And for some couples, it's monogamy all the way. And for other couples, it's very loose polyamory all the way. But just like most things in life have a range, let me give you an example. For a lot of healthy monogamy couples, it's not considered a breach of trust to compliment another woman that you know, or another man that you know, or to notice an attractive person or art or character on TV or character in a movie. It's not considered like a breach of your relationship, you know, but that's a little bit polyamorous, if that makes sense, because for some couples, there are other couples where they feel like, oh no, if you have eyes for anyone but me, I'm mad or I'm upset.
Oh, see, now this is interesting because I can tell you, my wife periodically will say, did you see so-and-so this? Did you see this lady? Or Scott, look at this, or I'll bet you'd like this.
Yes.
And periodically we'll watch a show and the male lead, I will say, do you think he's attractive? Because in my head, it's like, first of all, we're committed. I have trust. I feel safe. But there's still that part of me that does that comparison and contrast.
Right.
Is that attractive? Now, I've said this on our show before. There are some male actors that make me question my sexuality.
Of course.
I've said that for a long time, right? Sean Connery being one of them. And it's like, attractive. Oh my God. Right? So my version of what is good looking, handsome, you know, whatever term you want to use, or beautiful, et cetera. I readily ask people. And even yesterday, there was a friend of ours. She had changed her hairstyle up and we're standing around talking. I compliment people on the way they look all the time.
Right. And that would be an example of modern day, quite monogamous, but an ethical non-monogamy agreement you have with Carolyn, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have an affair with somebody. That doesn't necessarily, but if in Victorian era, right, if you were to compliment another woman or notice that, you know, it could be considered a breach of your monogamous contract. And so that's what I'm saying is like, there is a range, for most things about we're not black and white people. We try to make ourselves black and white, but we're not all or nothing black or white people. We have a range. Like some people can't control whether you have a dream about another person sexually, or whether you, some people have what they call a hall pass, where like if this celebrity somehow comes into your life, like you won't cheat on anybody, but if this celebrity shows up in your life somehow and there's an opportunity to hook up with them or hang out with them, then you have a hall pass. And I imagine Carolyn has a hall pass with somebody like, it's like, who's her person that she's
spent a concert with? We're not going to talk about the free pass.
Okay, the free pass. But you see what I mean? That's an example of ethical non-monogamy where you're like, okay, fine. You know, what am I going to do? But, am I going to interfere with your freedom around that? No. But anyway, we don't have to get into all that stuff. The point is being aligned on these values and being able to talk about them and being able to communicate about them and being able to work through any hurt around them. That's a part of a successful relationship.
So I got to tell you, going back to the free pass concept, it's funny because we joke about it because Carolyn will talk about we don't talk about it in sexual terms. Yeah. It's very interesting where we are in our relationship because Carolyn would love, there's a certain celebrity, Carolyn would love to just sit down and have a beer with him.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
It could just be having fun.
Uh-huh. I would love to sit down and talk creativity with Pink.
Oh, I bet you would. You mentioned her a lot. I would just, yes.
Right?
Pick her brain.
I want to pick her brain. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because we feel comfortable to being able to talk about that thing. So you started, you were going to say something.
Yes. So all of this kind of stuff about others is what Esther Perel would categorize as mystery. The mystery of otherness that couples need to bring into their relationship to keep it fresh. That's everything from going to work in separate places, coming back to each other and sharing about your day. That brings in mystery and otherness.
So I was just telling you, I love Trevor Noah. There's another guy, some person I would love to sit down and just talk to him.
I agree.
And I just find him brilliant. I was just telling Michelle before we got on the air here that I was watching one of his shows. And one of the things he talks about is COVID and the fact that pre-COVID, we were going off to work. We were all in separate places from a relationship standpoint. And then I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but he makes the comment that, right, I may love you unconditionally, but like has its limits.
Exactly. So that otherness, really, if you worked at home, both you and a partner, that otherness, that mystery really got to a lot of people struggled during the pandemic if they were in a lockdown situation. Okay, so all of that aside, alignment, compatibility of your values, ease of the relationship. So do you feel like you just get along, that it's just easy? Because this idea that relationships take a lot of work, I think is wrong. I figured that out far too late in life, but it is, if you find somebody where most things just feel easy, you can really be yourself with this person and you feel loved and accepted. Your arguments are respectful and lead to some sort of compromise and outcome. Ease of a relationship is super important. If you have about 80 to 90% ease and 10 to 20% work, you're probably with a really good match. If you are working hard, you are probably with a wrong fit.
Out of curiosity, I'm wondering as I'm listening to you, what do you do with the people that are in my world, right? The people who, I hear you intellectually.
Yeah.
I hear you from in my head.
Okay.
But relationships of whatever type that they might be are actually things that I experience and feel. I hear what you're saying intellectually.
Sure.
But my relationships are built around things we do.
Yeah. Okay. So are you like an acts of service, quality time, love language kind of guy?
Well, yes. Gift I mean, the giving. the love language thing is a behavior that I need versus, there are lots of things I'll just. Right. Transparently, there are lots of things about Scott that are just a lot. This is what happens when you work with creative people. I know that. Uh-huh. Right? So in my relationship with Carolyn, she knows I'm not here all the time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm here, but yeah. I'm not here.
Right, right. You might be thinking in your head or coming up with something in your head.
And she can tell me, she said, where did you go?
Oh, right? She's good.
And so, you know, when we're talking about that, when you're talking about people who, again, are just creative, intuitive, et cetera, that.
Yes.
How does that work in a relationship?
Again, compatibility. Do you have a confident, good communicator in your life who enjoys the spontaneity and things that you bring to life? Not everybody wants to date an accountant. Some people would love to date an accountant. So part of it is know yourself. Do you like somebody that's very stable and logical and planned or not? You know, do you prefer a little spontaneity and one of you is more of the planned person and the other person is more of the creative, spontaneous person? So you don't have to be the same person for a successful relationship. And also it's not always true that opposites make for a successful relationship. It's really about how the couple navigates things.
So let's talk real quick because you know, we're running a little short on time and this isn't,
this
isn't a big thing. Let's talk for a minute. What do you suggest couples do to find that compromise and find that alchemy?
Yeah. Okay. So Google this, 36 questions to fall in love. If you're, you know, in a newer relationship and trying to develop getting to know each other. If your deep heart in the heavy of how do we navigate the ups and downs of our tasks of life, check out the Fair Play documentary and get the Fair Play task list so that you're engaged in that. If you need to understand how your partner perceives love, I do like the 5 love languages. Find out what yours is, find out what your partner's is, and make sure you're giving the gift that your partner wants, not the gift that you want, and that you know how to communicate about that. Communicate from a place of yourself. Like this is how I see things and how I feel. How do you see things and how do you feel? So you give space for otherness in that other person. Having a weekly date or romantic date or a sex date is really important in your relationship. Having a weekly business meeting is really important for a successful relationship where you're meal planning or your to-do listing, et cetera. But that's sexy.
We have calendar meetings here.
Calendar meetings are fantastic. Yep. Very different than if you wanted to get together and have some romance. So the romance is just as important. I want to give a couple of really good books for people out there. If you are trying to find a relationship, there's a wonderful book called Getting Naked, The 5 Secrets of Finding Love, the Love of Your Life While Totally Clothed and Completely Sober. It's written by an advice columnist male. He's awesome. One of my favorite books to recommend to people. And if you want to know Michelle's philosophy about women and men, or particularly women, there's a wonderful New York Times bestselling book called Marry Him, The Case for Settling for Mr. Good Enough by Lori Gottlieb, who is a therapist out of LA who wrote another book called like Maybe You Should Talk to Somebody. She's an excellent author. She's funny. She researched and shares everything in that book from arranged marriages and the success of arranged marriages being far more successful than relationships that are matched up based off of passion or love. But the book isn't about arranged marriages. The book is about really figuring out, are you being realistic? Are you sabotaging your own love life, et cetera? So that's a really good book. And then for those of you in a relationship, check out any of the work by John Gottman. He has something like 7 Secrets to a Successful Marriage, And all these questions of building a love map about the other person, like as if you were dating again. He has a free card deck called the Gottman. I think it's just called the Gottman card deck. It's an app that, you know, you can do everything from dating questions to loving questions. There's so many good tools out there. Marriage 365 is an online support program. If you're struggling in your relationship and you want some dating coaching, that I don't have any affiliation with any of these people, by the way, they're just tools I found along the way. So Marriage 365 is good for dating couples or married couples that are struggling a bit. You need to get yourselves back on track and back aligned. But
the way to end the show is, do you have suggestions for couples who are stuck, who I don't know what the right word is. You'll have to tell me, but they come to you and things are stale, right? Any great thoughts on what to do with that?
Yeah, I mean, depending other, on what other, they mean.
Other than cooking naked and vibrators.
Well, those are good suggestions. I might start there. No, not first session. You could, seeing a sex therapist or somebody that knows sex therapy, most marriage and family therapists have training in sex therapy. So putting that out on the table with a therapist is great. If you're really far along, you might want to see a discernment therapist. Like, is one of you thinking about leaving the relationship? That's about a 6 to 9 session process of determining if you want to really identify the issues and work on them, or if you need to learn to separate and divorce amicably. So that's a great area. But for couples that it's a little stale, I would probably start to do some dreaming, things like vision boarding together. What are some of your dreams for your life that you maybe have forgotten or put aside due to kids and work and pandemics and bills? What are some of the dreams you want to fulfill together? How do you each have fun? And where's the intersection between the fun that you have? Can you fill up your fun cup and go on some fun dates? Can you have an appointment for affection? Can you make a date on the calendar to just, it doesn't have to lead to sex. It doesn't, and sex doesn't always lead to orgasm. It's not about that, but can you find time to touch each other? Like, you know, hold each other, hold hands, sit on the couch and snuggle, just be affectionate. If that's not happening in your relationship and you've gotten too stale, it all depends on what they mean by stale and then where we go from there.
Got it. Okay. We've come to the end of our show.
Wow.
It was fast, and I'm sure we'll have more that we want to uncover. But the interesting thing is, I think that this show leads to next week's show, which is we're going to call it the knot in your shadow. And that's K-N-O-T, not N-O-T. We're going to talk about the knot, Scott. And I personally believe that part of the success of a good relationship is understanding yourself, which means knot that you've tied yourself up into and the shadow part of you that's got this constant negative self-talk going on in your head. So that's going to be next week's show.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks to all of you for listening. Please remember to like, subscribe, and share us on your favorite podcast platform. It will help us continue to grow. And with that, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.